Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And a while ago, I was at a friend's house and was talking to someone whose son was battling heroin addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman told me all about this guy named Tim Ryan, who was in the area that I lived. And he's remarkable, and he really helps people. And so we invited him on the air, and he's been coming back on a pretty regular basis. Tim Ryan in the studio with us today with his son, Max. Nice to see you again.
Nice to be back. How are you guys?
We're good. You just gave me some information that makes me feel like we're doing something fairly important. You're on a daily basis doing something fairly important. Wendy and I like to goof around, but we've had you on. I think this is the seventh time we've had you on in the last couple of years. Is it higher than that? It's more than that?
I think it's 12.
Is it 12 times? Yeah. All right. So you've come by, and in those 12 visits, we always talk about the ugliness that is heroin addiction. And we tell your story, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But you just gave me some information about people who have heard you on the air, and share that with
me. Yeah, I had a father from Franklin Park call me, and it just broke my heart. You know, he's crying. His 31-year-old son's lost an addiction, living with mom and dad. 31-year-old son has a 3-year-old daughter. And he said he had heard me on the show 2 or 3 times. And my first question was, why have you waited to call me?
Yeah.
Why did you wait till crisis mode? But by the grace of God, we're able to go in, do what we do, and put him on a plane. He's in a long-term treatment program in Florida right now.
Why did he wait so long? Did he answer that question? Was he embarrassed? Was he just thinking nothing's going to help?
You get a lot of families that if they see a ray of hope for 2 or 3 days, oh, it's going to get better. And your emotions tell you it's going to work. I have faith, but the disease of addiction, I mean, it just pulled. When you're dealing, I talked to a mom last night whose 20-year-old son started shooting heroin. She's like, well, he's 6 days clean. I said, your son needs inpatient residential. He needs to work with the substance abuse, the underlying trauma, and he needs to be in a long-term program. So they're coming to our support group in Naperville tomorrow night, and hopefully we can guide and direct them.
In the times we've had you on, though, you gave me a number of how many people have heard you on with us.
85 families we have assisted their family, children, brothers, sisters, husbands,
that's
wives, into treatment from this radio show.
It breaks my heart. When you become a parent, there's nothing you wouldn't do for your child. I don't know that I could do tough love, and thank God I don't have any heroin addictions or any addictions at this point. They're young. But is that the only way to help someone? Does your mileage vary?
No, you know, it's different for every person, but it gets to the point to where, you know, Mac's going to explain with his brother Nick. Nick had a warm bed. He had a hot shower. He had food. He could come and go as he wanted. Nick had no reason to change, and we ultimately put him out. And, of course, he is dead a week later. And Shannon still would beat herself up, but I said, Shannon, he would have died at home. He still would have went to the friends. The families have got to get so much help because this just engulfs them, too. And I have so many families will get their loved one into treatment, and they don't get themselves any help. The loved one comes back, things are well for a while, then they relapse, then they're back into chaos, crisis mode. They have to learn to take care of themselves as well.
It is a group effort, and you mentioned someone said to you, oh, my son's been clean for, I don't know what you said, six days.
6 days.
It doesn't end there, does it?
No, this is a lifelong journey. I still go to meetings. I still work with other people. My recovery and my relationship with my God is number one. Without that, I can't do anything else. And, oh, you got to go to those meetings? No, I want to go to those meetings. I want to be surrounded with people that think like me but have also turned their lives around. I was in Kentucky yesterday visiting in a place called the Healing Place. They have 700 people there, men, women, women with children, people coming out of jail. And it's anybody can walk in the front door. No insurance. I've never seen anything like this. So I'd like to figure out how to replicate
sure.
and bring something here.
Max, a question for you. I know this is a tough question. You saw what your brother, well, you lost your brother to heroin. You've seen what your dad has gone through with heroin problems. Have you ever tried heroin?
I have not tried heroin, no.
Because of what you've seen?
Yeah, no, I just I saw exactly what it did. I have never been offered it in the first place, and I just, if
you're
I
You're lucky. Most
yeah, for,
kids
I,
are
I really
offered
am.
It.
I have a couple friends that still use it every once in a while, and it breaks my heart.
Well, Max, too, will admit he had dabbled in weed. He dabbled in hallucinogenics for a while, but I think it's been over a year and a half. You haven't done anything.
It's probably been about 2 years.
Yeah. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke weed. He's not Nickerite. Max is not an addict, but he just chooses not to do it. I mean, he works with me and what we do. It's just not something he needs.
You say he is not an addict like you and Nick were. There are people that do smoke weed and don't go beyond that. There are people that drink a couple times a week and don't go beyond that. What is the difference?
Well, the difference is, you know...
What is an addict, I guess I'm asking you?
When things get out of control and it starts causing consequences, chances are you have a problem. If you're having a wake and bake every morning before you're having a bad day, a good bad day...
That means smoking pot first in the morning, Bill.
Smoking pot, you know...
I didn't know what it meant. I really didn't.
If
I thought
it's controlling
it was a way to prepare chicken.
You wake and bake a muffin.
Yeah.
You know, when you start having consequences, chances are you probably have something going on and...
So you know, those quizzes are probably accurate.
Oh, they
are. If you're experiencing problems with your family, if you're missing work.
Absolutely. Though that's a huge red flag. If you're missing work, you're waking up hungover, you're having a hard time getting out of bed.
Making up excuses.
Yes.
Changing hygiene.
You got a drinking problem. Yeah.
Change. What did you say, Matt?
Changing hygiene.
Really?
Not showering as often. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be amazed. And it alcohol is more takes a little more time. You know, I just had a friend of mine up in Crystal Lake. His brother, 44, died of alcoholism. 44 years old. You know, it's sad, but until someone's had enough pain, they're not going to change.
Tim, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were in New England, and my brother and sister-in-law live in New Hampshire, and the town that they live in is having a horrible problem with heroin. It's in the last couple of years, but it just keeps growing and growing. And I told them about you, and I said something that you said always resonates with me, and that is that people who take heroin for some reason, even though that they're losing people all around them, people who are close to them, they say, but it's not going to take me. There's something about it that goes, it won't affect me.
Well, it's twofold. When I was in my active addiction, I got to the point where I wanted to die, but I just didn't want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to commit suicide. But when you were doing the amount of drugs I was, you don't care if you live or die. But you also think, you know what, I'm smarter, I'm better. That's what the disease tells you. And with the fentanyl and what's in the heroin today, you don't know what you're getting. Oh, well, I know my drug dealer. Do you really? He's selling you a drug that will kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting to the point now where there's some places in the United States that are offering testing kits to where you can test your heroin to see if it has fentanyl in it. They're starting to pilot safe injection sites where addicts can actually go in, shoot up, have a nurse on site, have a doctor, but also have recovery peer specialists to be able to talk to them. And, hey, Max, you know, have you ever considered getting help? You know, it's called harm reduction. It's going to stop the spread of AIDS, HIV, Hep C, and people, if they OD, God forbid there's a nurse there that can administer Narcan, they're going to do it either way. So we've really got to start looking at this totally differently because what we're doing is not working.
But why is it on the rise? We know so much more about it. It's being talked about. That's why we like to talk about it on the air because, God forbid, if there's any parent out there listening or sibling that you know someone in your family needs help, don't be ashamed to ask for help. We talk about it. Why is it growing?
Well, the stigma is still there. I can't tell you how many families I work with, and they don't want anybody knowing, oh, we're a prestigious family. No, your kid's not unique. He's a drug addict. You know, if he had
cancer. It's not that rare.
No, it's everywhere, but it's more accessible. The quality is more pure. The cartels are flooding the street with it. I mean,
the cost is down.
Yeah,
you said that in the past.
$5 a bag. It's easier for a kid to get a bag of heroin or some prescription pain pills, it's easier to do that than get a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes.
That blows my mind.
Right.
It really does. And, you know, I have 14 and 18-year-old sons, and I bring up heroin all the time. I say it will kill you. It may not kill you the first time, but it will ultimately kill you.
With heroin, you have two choices. You're going to die. You might make some stops in county jail or prison, but you will die or you will get sober. There is no middle ground. There's no, hey, I smoke a little weed I do a little heroin on the weekends. It doesn't operate.
There's no such thing as a little heroin, is there?
No, no, no.
And, you know, I also told them when you open a can of beer or you open a bottle of vodka, you know what's in it. You don't know what's in the heroin you get. I read about this fentanyl and everything. And now it's so deadly where first responders have to wear gloves and something over their mouths. There were two police dogs that died from inhaling
it. Yeah, I mean, if it was fentanyl, carfentanil, which is 10,000 times stronger than pure morphine, I mean, if I got it on my hands, I'm getting someone out of a car and I wipe my nose, yeah, it could kill me.
So why does a drug dealer mix it with something like that? Don't they want repeat customers?
So you've got to understand the way a drug addict thinks. If I were to walk out here and find an indigent person, hey, where's a good dope at? Man, go to XYZ spot, go to that park and ask for the blue Superman bags. It's killing people. As an addict, that's the dope I want. I want the dope that's going to give me the best high. Again, you don't think about it, but from the dealer's aspects, some intentionally make hot bags to kill people to sell more product, but if you have a kilo of heroin, pure heroin, and you mix in a couple ounces of fentanyl, you can now get 3 or 4 kilos out of that. But these are not chemists. These are not people. They don't know what they're doing, and it kills people.
Tim Ryan is with us. If you're listening, please continue to listen. And if you need help, you can reach out to him, A Man in Recovery Foundation, AMIRF.org. You have your new book that came out a while ago, From Dope to Hope, A Man in Recovery. We're going to take a break, 312-981-7200, and then we're going to talk about your television special that's happening on A&E. And you're going to help more people. You just keep doing this.
I'm trying.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We are chatting with Tim Ryan, A Man in Recovery Foundation. You pretty much single-handedly help parents, people, anyone who's having problems with heroin addiction. You help them get help. And can we take an anonymous caller before we talk about your television show that's coming up?
Absolutely. And I help people with alcohol, cocaine. It's not just heroin. So anyone struggling with substance abuse disorder, I'm there.
And you can reach him at AMIRF.org. That stands for A Man in Recovery Foundation.org. Is there a phone number too?
Yep. It's 844-611-4673. 844-611-HOPE.
And of all the people I know who use the phrase 24-hour, you are 24-hour. You've told us stories about how you'll get a call at 4 in the morning, and you're on it. You're helping somebody.
We came back from Kentucky last night. My partner Derek dropped me off. He had to go to Crest Hill, pick someone up at 1, and get him into a hospital at 2:30 in the morning.
All right, let's take this phone call. Anonymous, thank you very much for calling us. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say to anybody listening right now, to please, please, if you have anyone in your family that is struggling with addiction, please call Tim. Call somebody. I just lost my niece 2 weeks ago, 20 years old, to an overdose. And it was heartbreaking. It was horrible. The wake and the funeral, I don't wish it on anybody. Please, anybody listening, if there is an issue in your family, call, please call somebody. That's all I wanted to get out there.
So sorry for your loss.
Very sorry.
And it's devastating. And then the families that are absolutely torn apart. It's heart-wrenching. I mean, we did that Sober Festival last weekend in Geneva. I had 6 families there whose kids have all passed away, but they're still supporting what we do. And, I mean, it gives me goosebumps talking about it, but yeah, this is decimating a generation.
And ask for help. I mean, you can start at, you know, a psychiatrist. They can start by calling you, and you will help direct them as to what they may be able to do and not.
I direct people. I don't care if you have any insurance, no insurance, good insurance. I'm the concierge. I know who to get you in touch with. I had a police officer. I can't mention the town or anything. There was a big drug bust last night, and this detective calls me and says, XYZ said they've been working with you. I said, this person has been, and the person's been held hostage. We have her going to treatment right now. He said, go get her help. She was just part of this situation. But I have officers calling me saying, look, we want to get this person help. We don't want to put him in jail for a bag of heroin.
Yeah.
Again, so sorry for your loss.
Terrible. Wendy and I discussed this last week. Jared Carmichael, who's a stand-up comic and has a show on NBC called The Carmichael Show, did a public service announcement that I saw on NBC, where the message was no longer just say no to drugs, it was just say when. And he says in the public service announcement, look, you're going to be in situations where you want to take drugs. You're going to be at a party where you want to be popular and you want to be creative, and there's going to be drugs. The important thing is to know what your limits are. And to me, Tim, it looked like we were waving a white flag saying, well, we tried saying no to drugs. We lost that battle. Is that what you see it as?
Well, first off, the DARE program, Just Say No, was a complete, utter failure.
Yeah.
And our goofy person, one of them in office, is wanting to reenact this. We have a program, The Cop and the Convict. You can go to booktimryan.com. We educate parents on cell phone monitoring software, computer monitoring software, how to drug test, why to drug test. The best way for a kid to get out of that peer pressure, what are you nuts? I can't do anything. My parents drug test me.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, takes it. You're right out of this. Oh, your parents drug test you. Man, don't give him anything. And it takes it away. But there's so much peer pressure with fitting in, social media, technology, keeping up with the Joneses. Kids can't be kids anymore. I mean, you see the suicide rates. They're going through the roof. Yeah, a lot needs to be changed, but don't say no. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right, talk about your July 31st special, A&E Networks. Go.
So, yeah, you guys have known, we've been filming with A&E for about a year and a half. Jason Hervey, I had been introduced to
from
through
the Wonder Years.
Yeah, from the Wonder Years. A friend of mine, Tiff, who's a producer, we flew out to L.A., met with Jason, signed on with his company, Bischoff Hervey Entertainment. And we put together a reel, went to A&E, and we had an hour and a half meeting. And I'm downstairs, and truthfully, I could care less about this for ego and pride. If this helps people, man, I'm all for it. And it's going to help a lot of people. But I can remember being in the lobby and Jason's like, what'd you think? I said, that was cool. Nice meeting. Nice mm-hmm. people. He said, Tim, we were in there for an hour and a half. The executive vice president's normally in 10 minutes and leaves. You had her crying. You had her hugging you. He said, I think we got something here. And within a week, they called, said, sign a deal, take them off. But it's basically a day in the life of what I do. It's it's not scripted it at all. It's very cutting edge, and it's been filmed all around Naperville, Aurora, Chicago, Downers Grove. But people are going to see truly what I deal with on a daily basis. And it's not showing people getting high in this, but ultimately, you know, we'll see where it goes. It's premiering July 31st after the season premiere of Interventions, and we're really excited about it. And remember last year I did the TEDx talk?
Yes.
So Arthur, who runs TEDx, is my neighbor, and he had said, Tim, I want you to come this year, talk for 3 minutes, talk about your book. And I said, well, we've got this going. So now we're doing, in conjunction with TEDx, we're going to do a big premiere July 31st that night at Yellow Box Community Church in Naperville from 8 o'clock to 10:30. I'm going to do a book signing. We're going to view the premiere of the show. And then I'm going to do a question and answer afterwards. So if you want to get that information, you can go to one of my Facebook pages, Tim Ryan from Dope to Hope. The Eventbrite link is up there. Click on, sign up. It's a free event. And come on out. We need more people out here talking about this.
And we do need to talk about it. And if someone's listening and a loved one of yours is battling heroin addiction or any addiction, do yourself a favor and at least tune into this special on A&E July 31st. What's the start time?
9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Just watch it and see what Tim does. And if you need to contact him, he is definitely here to help. You help so many. I mean, you are really selfless.
You are. You guys are, too. You bring me on. We get to talk about this. And then the phones start ringing. And I commend Bill and Wendy. Thank you so much. Assisting 85 families into treatment in 2 years is pretty darn
good.
Amazing.
Best place to contact you?
Best place to contact me is 844-611-4673 or shoot me an email at tryan@amirf.org.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, Max. Thank you. Appreciate you guys being here. We'll
thank
take
you.
A quick break. We've got news next and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.